All right, I'd like to bring the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees meeting to order. Date is September 9th, 2025 at 7 p.m. I'd like to request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Present.
Alex Litton.
Present.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Okay. Do you guys have a chance to look at the meeting minutes from August 26th?
Yep.
Looking for a motion to approve the meeting minutes from August 26th.
I so move.
I'll second. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton, yes. Bo Miller,
yes.
Okay. Fiscal officer's report. Got that in front of me here. All right, so I got payment listings from 8/27/2025 through, well, it says 9/30/2025. That must mean 9/9/2025. Payment numbers 105-2025 through 109-2025 and numbers 23954 through 23984. Total payments $52,574.99. Let's see here. Receipt listing from 8/27 through 9/8. Receipt numbers 211-2025 through 218-2025. Report total $3,125.54. Fund status as of 9/8/2025. Fund numbers 1000 through fund number 2901. All funds total $1,538,792.01. Pooled investments, $697,145.13. Available primary checking balance, $841,646.88. Looking for a motion to approve.
I can approve them as read.
I can second. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Okay. Zoning department, we have, did you guys get anything from the zoning department?
Nope.
Okay. You guys have anything back there?
Well, yes, it's kind of a statement and a question.
Sure.
I see in the Suburban 2 weeks ago, it said that we weren't going to have any zoning commission meeting, which I don't know where that come from. It didn't come from the zoning commission. So then I see in this week's Suburban, the monthly meetings of the first Wednesday of the month are back on. How did this come about?
So last Wednesday, we met Wednesday, right? Yeah, Wednesday. So Wednesday I was here meeting with the rec board, and Rob and Jacob were both here, and you had called me on that earlier in the day, and I followed up with them, and actually they said you were supposed to meet with them that day too, and you got held up. So I thought they had reached out to you. That was a miscommunication on the way it went in the paper the first time.
Who authorized that?
It was going to be, and Jacob said, we're not trying to make waves. I'm not trying to make waves. We're not canceling the meetings. It was, the way it was put in was wrong. It was going to be, they explained it as you guys are to meet as needed,
not once a month.
As needed. If you guys need to meet once a month, you meet once a month. It wasn't to say...
Well, who authorized it? Doesn't Jacob, as I do, and the Zoning Commission, we work for the trustees. No one person outside the trustees. If you guys didn't vote on that at a public meeting, how did it get authorized? How did it get authorized to be put in the press?
It got put in the press as you guys will meet as needed. And if that
was authorized by the trustees, who did that?
Jacob and Rob put that in the paper.
Okay.
But it was put in there as needed. But if you guys need to meet once a month, you guys meet once a month. It wasn't saying that you guys...
I can't remember a time that you know, Jacob approached me and he says, why do you guys meet once a month? Nobody else was like, because that's the way it's been done out here for as long as I can remember.
Right.
The public has the opportunity to see what goes on. Now, obviously, like this meeting, not a lot of people come, but I was really surprised at the amount of people that look at the zoning meetings online. Mm-hmm. So I think it's incumbent that we, you know, that we keep the monthly meetings. How do we know what's going on? If nothing comes up until next June, so you're not
going to have
10 months of no meetings?
Rob and Jacob were supposed to reach out to you regarding that.
And when Jacob reached out to me before that meeting last week, I told him, no way, we're meeting once a month. Just so we're clear that Jacob and the Zoning Commission work at the bequest of the trustees, not one individual.
It was very misleading. I don't usually read the press.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me it was in there, so, oh, wait a minute. So now I finally had Sandy, give me the press, I want to read that. And it looked to me like, well,
so
we weren't going to have meetings unless we scheduled them. It's kind of like, okay, you know, we're not going to have any meetings unless you schedule them. It wasn't misleading, very. But I noticed this time, it was totally differently.
Yeah.
It's back to normal, and I, as the president of the Zoning Commission, wish to continue, and so do most of the members that I discussed that with. The monthly meeting, so we can be as wide open as we can with information to the citizens. And I think they deserve that.
Sometimes we don't have a whole lot going on, but there's other times that we really do.
Yeah.
And if you skip a month, that month's a long damn time.
Right.
To just have nothing on the books or talked about or discussed.
Well, and one of the things that we did discuss the other day when we were in there with them, and I know that we've done this from the beginning, or I was one of the big advocates for it in the beginning, Jim, was when it came to the zoning, you know, what they were working on, what they were going after, what they were doing to come to you guys, right? You remember we started that back, I think, when Linda was here still, about having the zoning board discuss the what violations were out there and how they were going to...
Right.
Well, if you remember, once we had that training with Jeff Stopar, that's not how that works. You guys don't have a say in what they do.
Oh, that's very well understood.
Yeah.
But we can also refer to that. I got a stack that thick from the last 3 to 4 years that haven't been addressed. And we like to go over there to keep updated.
Yeah.
We don't tell Jacob what he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't work for the Zoning Commission.
Right.
We definitely understand that. But we still like to be able to discuss the issues that are in our community.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know what's going on.
So
they don't talk to him.
They were supposed to reach out to you. That was my when I left here Wednesday night. That was my interpretation, is they were reaching out to you to fill you in on that.
And the other thing is that was discussed because Jacob has difficulty making the Wednesday meetings. And so he suggested we change the night and the time and have them at 6:00. And I goes, you know, actually, several people on the committee, Terry included, a couple different people, they can't make a 6:00 meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden now we got somebody who wants to change the time and the date and cancel the meetings.
And Jim, you know, he did say that was okay when he came in.
What?
That date, Wednesday.
Well,
no.
But it's not.
No, he didn't.
He did?
No.
You sure?
Yeah. Yes. I'm 100% positive.
He has other obligations on Wednesday nights in our meeting. And that's okay. I guess personally, it could be on the first Tuesday. It can't be on the second because of you guys. Or it could be on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But you can't change the time to where people can't attend.
Yeah, because I remember specifically talking about office hours too, and saying that if you need to change the office hours also, whatever you change them to, it has to be consistent. So we can't do, we're going to do it Tuesday this week and Wednesday next week. And I go, if you're going to change from your Wednesday office hours, you're going to have to stick with that schedule for the year. Or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's good. You're going to stick with that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with you guys meeting. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. And if Jacob doesn't need to feel he needs to be there, or Rob doesn't need to be there, I guess
that's fine. But we like getting your report.
Yeah, I
Rob
agree.
Rob did a fantastic job the whole time. He was pretty much running the whole show for over a year. Did a fantastic job with bringing us all the information. Because you know what, you go without the information, do you know if anything's even getting done? What direction?
Yeah, but isn't the report that's supposed to be given here at the trustee meeting, isn't that good enough for you? You got to have them show up at your meeting to give a special report?
Well,
I mean, and if you guys don't have anything to discuss, what's the sense of holding the meeting?
Well,
I mean, even
somebody,
if you miss.
There always was somebody at our meetings telling us, but you notice there's nobody here tonight.
Well, there's a lot of nobody's here tonight. We don't even have our fiscal guy here.
Okay, see.
That's all I'm saying. I'm glad they're back on. And we will continue to have them on the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you.
Thanks for bringing it up, Jim. I really had no idea that it went in the press that way. I'm going to look that up and take a look at that. I had no clue. I don't read the press all the time.
Right. Well, this week it's changed. 2 weeks ago, it said it would they would only be as needed. So.
2 weeks ago, okay.
Jim, when is the date? What day you guys going to change it to? Tuesday, Thursday, Friday?
Well, he hasn't. That's Jacob's trying to do that. Yeah. But you know they've been on Wednesday since Chrysler Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the 6 o'clock thing was the big deal. If we couldn't make it at 6 o'clock, he couldn't be there because he had other commitments. So I don't know if there's another day of the week that he could do it or not. And we're open to that, but not 6 o'clock. I mean, a lot of people can't make it.
I'll follow up with Jacob and see if we can make some type of arrangement.
I'll stop in tomorrow, too.
Okay. Do you guys have anything else?
No, that's it on the zoning. Thank you.
I have a question on the zoning. Do you want me to save it till the end, or...?
Is it pertinent right now?
Kind
of. Just throw it at us.
The zoning inspector is the one that goes around and issues all the things and issues permits and stuff like that. It was my understanding that the zoning board was there to interpret our zoning book. And if they aren't interpreting part of the zoning book or going to make a change, you know, like the girl requested, to make a change to the zoning book, then they have no business because they can't go out and do anything about the citations that are given.
Well, technically, if I understand it correctly, their job isn't interpretation at all. Interpretation is the Board of Appeals.
Okay.
So
what is the zoning board supposed to do at their meeting? There's nothing for them to do.
Yeah. I'll follow up with Jacob. All right. Okay, you guys have anything else? All right. Fire department?
Good evening, everyone. First thing I have is we have the invoice for the roof repairs. You guys may want to just initial it that way, because it's over the $3,000. You guys had already approved it.
Yeah, we approved it. Yeah.
But whatever we got to do, however you want to do that.
How much is it over, Tony?
It's not. It's stayed under what we had budgeted.
It was over his $3,000 limit, is what it was.
Yeah, but we approved it, so.
Yeah, you approved it. I'm just asking you to put some initials on it, so sure. Joel will be happy with it. As you're aware, Rescue Engine went down for an electronic controller. It controls the pump module. The repair is well above my authorization, and it is. This is the quote for the repair.
Well, that's cheaper than what you told me.
You're happy about it now, aren't you?
I am happy about it. See? Yep, see, that's how you work it.
I questioned to make sure that it did include labor, and it did, so.
So, obviously, it went down, we were notified right away.
Yep.
When the department was out here, it was gonna be just a rough estimate, and they told us 10 grand, come in at $8,304.95, so, I can make a motion to approve this bill for $8,304.95, and it's going to Decisive Fleet Management, is that?
No, it's Atlantic.
Oh, Atlantic, oh, that's their platform, okay. Atlantic for repair to the rescue engine. That's my motion.
I can second it. Can you pass it down here?
Yep.
Then the last thing I have is the, Toledo finally came back with an offer of the, at Light Squad 16 that we had back here. This is not a decision by the fire department side of things. This is the Toledo Fleet Management side. They're the ones make decisions. They had the oil analyzed and transmission analyzed samples in that. Anyways, we are asking 30. They have offered 15.
Oh, shit.
I would like to say no. I would like to take a chance at gun deals and sell it that way. That's just my 2 cents of the input. Oregon offered 7 way back when.
Either way, we have nothing tied into it. I mean, we have correct. Nothing. We gained nothing out of it, or we didn't. It didn't cost us anything.
It
didn't
cost us nothing.
$15,000 seems pretty cheap for that truck. But what year is that?
Well, it's not only the truck, but there is a power load system and the power cot. That in itself should bring around at least $10,000 in itself, just for that.
Okay. I would like to see that, and then what truck was sitting out back? The engine, the old engine?
Well, it's now in the bay.
Yeah.
Yes, engine 31.
Engine 31.
And that'll both go on.
I'd like to see that, and then if there's anything else that
the,
we need
the
to get.
The boat. You approved the
sale of the boat.
The Titanga.
Okay.
So all three will go on.
Yeah, I mean, because what I'm scared of is the stuff's getting older. And, I mean, of course, this rescue engine isn't that old, but, you know, it's going to start nickel and diming us. And if we just keep holding on to this stuff, it, in my opinion, we're going to just keep throwing money at it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it might even be something to think about, that utility. I mean, the utility truck is, what, a 2000 or 2003? 2002. We got a brand new pickup truck for you guys. I mean, it might be time to punt that too. Just, you know, I mean, I know they're well taken care of, but they're driven hard also. But then, like the big trucks, they sit a lot and shit goes bad with them by not using them. So, I mean, that might be something to really talk to your command staff about what you, sure. You know, if you guys think about that, you know, utility.
Well, you approved the sales, so the sales for the three vehicles is given. That's where we're gonna go.
And then if you got anything else in there.
We it's not that we weren't trying. I'd given TJ Saunders an opportunity. He sells fire trucks, and gave him an opportunity to try and sell this apparatus because he gets around to a lot of departments and stuff like this. And at this point, I think we'll just go to GovDeals and we'll put a reserve on it, and then we'll go from that.
One last thought. The worst vehicle you have in that fleet is probably the dive truck. I mean, that thing was wore out when we got it. We paid $1 for it, right?
Yeah.
Would it make sense to sell that power cot out of that life squad and turn that into a new dive truck? I mean, would that make sense at all? I mean, that'd be something to talk to your team about. I mean, that dive truck from ProMedica is wore out.
There's a lot more room in that truck, though.
It is, but
it's
for the amount of times that we're using it, it's functioning fine. It serves the the operation just fine at little cost. I mean, it does. I mean, we don't change the oil in that thing every single year because it doesn't even warrant the mileage for it. But
it was a thought.
These are all. Yeah. Considerations, yes.
Tony, what does the new one cost?
a new large squad like that one, around 350, 400, well, you know.
Probably 400, yeah.
Every bit of half to three quarters of a million.
And what's the lead time on them? A year?
About 3 years.
3 years? For a big one.
For a big squad. So, now you can buy like a rescue or something off a demo. You can get those. It's just, you got to buy them. That's the only thing. So if we were going to replace it, you could do it. But I think in the financial or in the fiscal, with this buying the tanker, we're trying to not have a big purchase right now. So we want to get that paid off before
right. We
go on to the next big thing. Be good stewards of the money.
And that payment was made. You remember, I think at the last meeting you asked me if he had made that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did make a payment. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
There was...
That puts me at ease.
Yeah, I think he paid it early this year. It was paid.
That's okay. So. Just thankful to know that got paid.
Yeah, he sent us all an email. You got one too, didn't you, Alex?
Yeah.
Excellent. Gentlemen, that's all I have. I mean, we do have a funeral Saturday for Jim Fox, retired, obviously for a lot of years, but served the community. And that is Saturday. So that's why our flag has the, and then Toledo just lost someone too.
I didn't ask Kevin, is he getting buried here? Or?
I don't know that. I believe he's being cremated, but I'm not sure what the actual thing's happening. Any questions?
Yeah, I do have one thing I got under new business here that will just knock it out of the way. I looked into the SAM renewal pretty extensively. I set up an account with the federal government's SAM system.
Yep.
And I found the township account and I put in for a request to join that account. If you get an email for a request, you'll probably want to approve it, and then I'll be able to go in and do a renewal on the SAM account.
Does it still have me listed in there?
Yeah. Yeah, it has. It has you listed, yeah.
Okay. That's what Joel was talking about.
I didn't find Joel listed anywhere on any of the previous renewals, even though maybe Joel took
care
of them.
I'll be happy to work with you very closely on this, because I want to make sure that this gets done.
Compliant. If check your email tomorrow, if you see a like an ad request or however that works, let me know, and then I will, there's some paperwork I have to fill out and send to them to give me access to the account like manually. So if you don't see that in there, let me know. I'll take care of that, and then we'll get it renewed ASAP. I can't guarantee we'll get it renewed by its expiration date, but we'll try our best. So, okay, cool. We got that knocked out of the way. All right, thank you, Chief. All right, maintenance department doesn't look like Kevin's here. Do we want to talk about rec stuff now? Do we want to jump into the Hercules Energy thing?
Well, Jim, you want to get out of here, yeah. Right? You guys want to get out of here?
Let's do the rec.
All right, okay, let's go for that.
All right, if we have that back here. And so I met with Jim, Vivian, and Shella last Wednesday to discuss where we go with this, with the rec, and how we keep it alive for at least a year, till next year to see if we can get the levy passed. There were a lot of talking points. Some of the things that we discussed was we do believe that there are some people taking advantage of the free and reduced lunch where we pay 100% of the thing, which we paid a little boat of a lot of the kids. We talked about cutting what we pay maybe down to 50% or 25%, to try and get it through, you know, a year. Because the bill is about $15,000 just for the sports fees. So then the following day I talked to Tim at Oregon Rec. And he said that they have the same issue in Oregon where they believe there are people taking advantage of the free and reduced that really don't qualify. So we talked about some type of voucher program for proof, like a hardship proof. So I reached out to Jeff Straka, the assistant superintendent at Oregon, that they could get from the schools. And he said, simple. He goes, when they get approved for free and reduced lunch, they get a letter mailed to their house or emailed, however, they actually have a form that says, hey, you've been approved for free and reduced lunch. So with the free and reduced lunch form, they could submit that with the registration fee, with the registration for proof. So that way when Oregon, when they bill us for the fees, that they have proof, hey, these people are, this is legit. These people weren't legit. And the other thing he said was, Jerusalem pays for not only the sports fees, but we pay for all their jerseys. He said Oregon does not pay, even on the free and reduced lunch, they do not pay for their jerseys. They make the, they make them, the participants at least pay for the jersey. So these are, this was a few things that we could look at to save a little bit of money. We talked about not doing the weed and feed over at the rec fields, for a year to try and not have that cost there. And maybe, try and get some volunteers to do some of the dragging of the fields or things like that. And then we talked about a fundraiser. And there were a few things we talked about, possibly a gun raffle, which could generate a lot of money for the rec. There was talk about trying to get some type of table set up at the feather party to see if we could talk to partner with the fire department on that aspect of things. To try and generate some money for the rec. And that's kind of where we left it, and I was going to respond to all the board members after tonight's meeting, after what I report to these guys. Jim, Vivian, do you guys have anything else to add on what we talked about? Did I miss anything?
No, it's just how to be good stewards of the money that we have left. Obviously, we voiced our displeasure with the board's decision to not allow us to push the levy. We understand what happened with the ruined bridges and the fire department's going, we kind of get it, but obviously the rec is important. The township and the people involved with the rec have devoted a lot of time to that. So we just don't want to see the facilities we have and the services that we provide go by the wayside. I think that's our main focus moving forward. How do we maintain some level of service until we can promote a levy and get back on financial track?
We know we don't want it to go away, because once it's gone, we're not going to get it back. So any way that we can hold out until we're able to put on a levy, those of us that are still on the board are more interested in providing for the kids, because that's who loses here in the end, is the kids.
I think, at least my opinion is, I think if we have to get some money out of the general fund to keep this help, if we have to help you a little bit, I think we should, because it used to all come out of the general fund anyhow, a long time ago, and we've put a lot of money into that place too, and time and effort, and I don't want to see it gone either.
But there's going to have to be concessions. I mean,
there's going to have to be concessions.
Yeah.
We understand.
We know that.
Just like no different than...
anything else.
Well, yeah. You might have got to be able to pay a bill.
Right.
There's going to be some concessions.
Yeah.
It's, again, there's ways to get some of the work done over there. The weed and feed stuff, maybe we can partner with a local farmer kind of deal. to get some spraying done. I mean, just keeping the thistle and the dandelions out, we've done good work there. If we let it go for 2 years.
You can't let it go.
It's going to be, it's going to be hell to get it back. Now, we don't need to fertilize it. So we can keep the fertilizer out of it, but... to keep the weeds and stuff out, that's big. I'm sure there's plenty of people around that we can find some spray and some licenses to use to be able to get that done. So that's our main concern, is to maintain the facilities that we have, and what do we do for the kids that need the financial support. And getting a program that is pinpointing those kids, those families, we'll support, again, fundraisers. We need to get fundraisers to get those kids the ability to be able to play. We will do that. We'll do what we can as a board to float. But obviously, we may need some help.
Yeah. But those of us left are willing to do whatever it is that we have to do to hold out in hopes that, you know, next time we're able to put a levy on, everybody will realize how much the rec actually does pay for the kids and what we do. Because I think that might be what's missing.
And realistically, if it goes on in, if it passed, say we get it on the ballot in 26, November, about a year from now, there's a whole nother year.
They don't get anything until 27.
You get your year behind in taxes. So that will be 2 years of funding that at some level to keep it going. And that's the goal, is to try and fund it somehow to keep it going. But the biggest bills were the rec, the bill from Oregon, and Gary, and then maintenance. I mean, the grass cutting is a lot, you know, of that. That's a lot of grass to cut. So these were ideas. I'm going to actually talk to Tim over at Oregon tomorrow and let him know what Jeff Straka had said about the voucher program, that where you could avoid some of that. You know, we do know that there are cases that that's happening a lot. So them are just kind of some of the ideas to try and keep it going.
I think we were all on board with
that. It's just something that I think that needs some more conversation, and I think we need a little better financial grasp on what the actual fund status is. And we'll have to get with Joel, put some records requests, and just figure some things out. Any questions for us?
How did that work? We kind of raked the ball diamonds. Did you look at that lately?
I haven't been over there for about a month. So
you wouldn't have seen it then.
Yep. We'll go over there and take a look. I know I spent a lot of time over there in the spring trying to get stuff. Well, that's when we came and asked for more to get some more stone brought in, but obviously that didn't go. But again, we'll keep working at it. The good news is, this time of year, everything's gonna go dormant. We just gotta get on it in the spring. So.
Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you do.
No problem.
And if anybody knows, Jim is one of the newest school board members, even though it's not been voted on yet.
I was going to say, wait, did I miss a vote?
No. I just got to vote for myself.
He's got to vote for himself. That's it. Him and I are trading votes. I'll vote for him. He's going to vote for me.
Sounds like a deal.
Yeah.
I just would like to say that I don't know how those school lunch voucher, how much proof do they need at the school to get on that? Because I think people who want to get on those kind of things work their way around to get on those kind of things.
Yeah.
And if there's any kid that isn't going to be able to play because they can't buy their own shirt or whatever, I know I'm willing to help.
That was just a suggestion that Tim had made in Oregon, was that that's what they do with their free reduced kids. They'll pay for the fee, but they still make them pay for their jersey. We, as Jerusalem Township, for our kids, we paid it all.
Right.
He said, that's an option. I just threw that option out there as an option. I'm not saying that's the way we're going to go, whatever. But we've obviously got to make some major cost cutting to try and keep this. Because I'm going to tell you, the fiscal officer does not want to fund this out of the general fund.
That's and not it's, the fiscal officer's call.
I understand that.
The fiscal officer is to do what he's told.
We have to be conscious of this and try and, you know, keep it going. So
we have to keep it going,
because no matter what, even if we said we wipe our hands of it right now, let's just say we did that, it still needs to be mowed, it still needs to be taken care of. So that money is going to be coming out of the general fund anyway, so it's going to have to be maintained no matter what happens.
I just don't want to see any kids not be able to involved in their sport.
I agree. Karen's got one right there.
People will donate. If it gets out in the public, people will donate. Maybe they could throw up a GoFundMe even that would take off. It's not a lot. I mean,
but you know,
$5,500 might be a lot for a family to come up with.
The thing is, like Jim, and I'm going to use Jim for an example. What did you, because you had told me What was the levy, the rec levy costing you a year on your house?
A whopping $15 cost me.
Yeah.
And I live probably in the most one bedroom, small little house.
Yeah.
So over $15 they left us lapse, and that's where, now if it would have been 780, yes, I can see where it would hurt a day. But $15, I see people pay that much for a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Do you have any idea
taxes.
What's an average jersey cost now?
I think they said it was like $20 or $25. I don't.
See, years ago we used to have that game fee. Mm-hmm. That was a big, huge money maker. Got so big we had to get the Toledo Club to do it. But you, nobody wants to give it up anymore.
Right.
They keep their game because it's just getting harder. And,
yeah. I hate to put gun. Big. I hate to say doing a gun raffle with the kids, but them gun raffles are money makers. I mean, we did it with the Fire Association, and you can always sell gun tickets, and it's a moneymaker. And that would be a huge cash infusion for them.
They actually won several gun clubs run a 12-month gun raffle. Mm-hmm. They have a raffle every month for a different style of gun.
Yeah.
So you buy the ticket, and that ticket's good for all 12 raffles.
That's all I got.
Thanks, Sandy. Okay, I think we're going to jump around to Hercules Energy on new business. We had somebody reach out to us from Hercules Energy, DJ Altman, about potentially getting us a better electric rate here at the township. Let me send him a text message.
We're gonna try this.
And he's gonna join us virtually because he's from the other side of the state and didn't want to make the drive this evening.
Well, I guess he ain't gonna get her.
I just sent him a text. So.
Doesn't the salt still go through Toledo Edison?
Yeah, Toledo Edison is still. They're not the billing portion. This would be the billing portion, correct? I believe this is the billing portion. We're just here to hear him out. We're not going to make any decisions tonight.
Gary, it's Dynegy. It's Dynegy. That's our energy supplier. It's not Toledo Edison or Edison or anything.
Well, they had a choice there. You could swap to another.
Yeah, but
energy
supplier.
I never did.
That's our supplier, though.
Is that the one that's out of Texas?
I have no idea. You know, I think the Edison just does the lines and stuff like that.
It's real confusing. You got the supplier, the distributor, and the biller.
Yeah.
So there's three parts to it, and I think this is on the billing end. I'll have to get clarification from him. I didn't really.
He's there. Hold on. DJ, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yep. Got you loud and clear now.
Okay, perfect. So I was kind of just tuning into the, here, I'm going to turn my volume down a little bit. I can hear my echo. I was tuning into the live feed on Facebook. So yeah, I mean, you guys are pretty spot on. Hercules Energy is an energy broker and consultant. We're based out of Cleveland, Ohio. Reached out, one of our business development guys reached out to Dave, kind of talked through what we do a little bit, and Dave said, hey, we're not on a contract right now, and that's when I got involved, spoke with Dave. Dave sent over the bills, and then, so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, because this is very, this can be complex, but it's also very simple, if explained correctly, so that's what I'm going to try to do here for you. So right now, you guys are with Toledo Edison. Toledo Edison will always be your utility company. So that will never change. Toledo Edison will always be responsible for power outages and delivering the electricity to all of your township facilities. That'll never change. Right now, for the supplier portion, like I heard you guys talking about, you guys are on the default service, the price to compare with Toledo Edison, which is 9.7 cents per kilowatt hour. Obviously, that's a variable rate. That price changes all the time. 3-4 years ago, that was down in like the 5-cent range. And just like everything else through, you know, inflation and supply and demand, energy costs have gone up fairly drastically over the last 3-4 years. So the quotes here that I have are fixed pricing. You do not have to worry. That's kind of the big, like, there's some savings here. You'll see in the 1, 2, and 3 and 4 year terms, there is some savings. The savings are minimal, but the biggest factor here is going to be that you guys have peace of mind that these prices will not change. The only caveat is that we need to verify the bill that Dave sent over. You guys are master billed from Toledo Edison, so we don't have the accounts, the account numbers for each account. We just have the master account number. So the one thing that I will need, and I can help out, is we'll need to reach out to Toledo Edison and get those customer numbers specific to each account for this pricing to be executable. Right now, this is indicative pricing based on similar accounts, your guys' size. Don't anticipate much of a change here at all. And if it does change, hopefully it's a little bit lower. But very straightforward, very simple, but I'm sure there's gonna be questions. So I'll kind of kick this back to you guys as a group. If you wanna, I don't know if you guys need to huddle up. I know we're not making any decisions today, but wanna make sure everybody's on the same page so you guys can have these conversations behind the scenes and come to a decision.
So this is a very simple process of, we sign the contract, those are the kilowatt hours, it's a fixed cost. It looks like it goes down the longer we go out. If we go out 4 years, we're gonna save $1,039 over a 4 year period.
So that would be per year. You would, over that 4 year period, it would be a total of like $4,000 savings. That's also in comparison to this current price. So I could show you guys, I could share after the call, very easy to find public information, the historical pricing for Toledo Edison. Like I said, if you go back to 2020, 2021, you know, these numbers, the price to compare was down in the 5 cent range. And when we were offering customers fixed costs, we were at 4 cents or 4.5 cents. So everything's just kind of gone up. But so these annual savings numbers are based off the price to compare today for Toledo Edison. That number could eventually change if the price to compare a year from now drops or increases. The savings would obviously drop or increase, but you guys would be locked in at whatever price you commit to for that term.
So can you, I do have a question. My understanding of it was there's, when it comes to electric, there's three separate entities. There's the generation, the distribution, and billing. Can you explain that a little bit for me and explain which portion this actually is, or is this a price on all three portions?
Yeah, so you really have two portions. You have delivery, which is Toledo Edison, and then you have supply, which in the state of Ohio, we're deregulated, so you guys get to choose. You can remain with Toledo Edison on their default service. You pay the price to compare. It is what it is. Or you could go out and find a supplier that offers you, I mean, there's fixed rates. There's also you know, variable rates that suppliers will offer as part of a contract. I don't think as a township that makes sense for you guys, but you have the choice of, hey, we can remain with Toledo Edison. We're going to pay what the price to compare is. That's what it is. Or you can go out and find a supplier who just, you know, you're billed at a fixed price. That supplier is allowed to go out and offer competitive rates, kind of the whole idea behind deregulation. That third piece that you're mentioning, billing, that's also handled by Toledo Edison. You're always going to be billed from Toledo Edison. You do have the option to be dual billed by a supplier for your supplier charges. Unless there's something that I'm missing, I don't see why that would make sense for you guys. I think it makes sense to just keep it all consolidated billing with Toledo Edison.
DJ, couple, one other thing. So is there any other fees that are associated with you with nope. going to Hercules Energy?
No, our fees are included in the price. The supplier pays us on the back end. So you'll never see us on a bill. You'll never see an invoice from us. We're paid by the supplier for bringing them business. If you think about, you know, an energy supplier, for them to go out and have the sales team and then also have the customer service team, it's a lot more internal resources for them versus working with you know, third parties like energy brokers like us. We would be your guys' point of contact moving forward, at least for the duration of this term, hopefully longer if we continue working with you guys. If you guys ever have a billing issue or a billing question, you reach out to us. We reach out to the supplier directly, a lot easier than you guys calling into, you know, 1-800 customer service number, waiting on hold. We handle all the sales and customer service on behalf of our suppliers.
That's pretty cool.
What happens, and this is the question, because, you know, we're in rotating terms, so, you know, every 4 years, and if, say, we were to lock it, what happens at the end of 4 years? Will somebody from Hercules Energy reach back out to us and say, hey, we need to re-up you for another contract, or do we automatically default back to the Toledo Edison bill once our contract ends with you?
Yeah, so we'll be reaching out. You're actually you're able to start looking at renewal pricing and renew your contract up to 2 years in advance. So outside of, you know, you guys reaching out for customer service related stuff, once you guys are within that 2 year window, we'll do that initial reach out of like, hey, you guys are within this renewal window, you know, because it's a commodity based market, just like the stock market. Everyone's trying to time these decisions and make these decisions at the best time, but nobody has a crystal ball. So we'll actually be reaching out to you guys far in advance of the expiration of this contract, just to let you know where pricing's at, where the market's at, and then we'll kind of work together to determine when the best time to actually go ahead and put a renewal in place for that contract is. And we always look at the price to compare at that time with the fixed pricing options that we're presenting. There's several times where, you know, it hasn't happened in a while, but in the past, there's plenty of times where a customer, you know, their fixed price options are higher than the price to compare at that time. And, you know, through meeting with them and talking with them, they're like, we want to go back to, you know, Toledo Edison's default service. And we help you guys do that. So, yeah, we'll absolutely be in touch. Long answer to your question, but we'll be in touch with you guys. And if, you know, new people are, you know, on the board or new trustees are in place, we'll obviously ask for introductions at that time to kind of make it an easier transition. But yes, we'll be in touch and making sure we're helping facilitate the renewal.
And what about a cancellation policy? Like, let's just say we're into this year two, and I know there's a lot of energy companies out there, and a new energy company comes in, they say, hey, we can, you know, get you, you know, 6 cents a kilowatt hour. And, you know, we go back to Hercules. Hercules says, yeah, we can't do that. You know, what is it to get out of that contract with you guys?
So it wouldn't be, it's not something that we determine. The early termination fees that the suppliers would issue are all, there's no set number because they're all based on damages, right? So it's a commodity that they're going out and hedging. And even though you guys aren't a large customer, they have to keep it standard across the board, meaning if they go out and they, you know, hedge in order to offer you a price for 4 years and then the market drops, well, everybody that did a four-year hedge around the same time is going to be able to go and get a lower price. Unfortunately, that's the game we play. So you would have early termination fees in that scenario. What they would be depending on where the market's at and how long is left on the contract. Whatever the damages or whatever the supplier loses out on that hedge that they do to get you this price is the early termination fee that the township would be charged. Now, in that event that, you know, you're 2 years into it and there's an energy company that can get you a lower price. Well, if that's the case, I could also get you a lower price at that time. We have a huge supplier network. But again, we'll be reaching out at that time to now start trying to facilitate a renewal. And if the market does drop, well, if we find a time where there's 2 years left on the contract and we're at 6 cents and you guys are paying around 9 cents from this contract that we do, we'll actually be able to put that renewal in place up to 2 years in advance where, yeah, you guys will be stuck at 9 cents if you commit to 4 years for now, but you'll have that 6 cents waiting for you when the contract expires.
Interesting. So when they come up with this early termination fee, do they have like a formula they use, or what exactly do they... Like, how do they come up with that calculation? Is that in the terms of our contract?
Yeah, it'd be in the terms of the contract, which, you know, once we get to that point, I'm happy to walk you through it. But it's basically the price that you're contracted at and then the market price at the time of cancellation multiplied by the volume left on the contract, meaning the kilowatt hours left on the contract. So if you guys canceled with 12 months to go, your early termination fee would be minimal compared to if you canceled with 36 months to go on the contract, because there's volumes that you're committing to. So I would say if that's a concern, which is fair, maybe we look at shorter term contracts. The issue with shorter term, again, with how the market's trending, is if we do a 1 or 2 year term and the market continues to go up, when I call you back for the renewal, we're going to be where we're at. You know, if the market's at 11 or 12 cents at that time, that's where you guys are at. So these are the decisions. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you guys what's going to happen with the market. If I could, I'd be trading. I wouldn't be consulting. But so yeah, that's sort of the game that we all play when making these decisions is where do we think the market's going to go? Nobody has a crystal ball. I mean, we can guess as much as we want, but you go 12 months, there's risk in doing 12 months. You go 48 months, there's risk in doing 48 months. Where do you guys want to put that risk, I guess, is the question.
Okay. I think you've given us plenty of information to kick the idea over, and we'll work on getting you those. What were the numbers you needed? You have the master?
Customer numbers.
Customer numbers,
yeah, so
okay.
They're customer numbers. They're 20-digit numbers that start with 080. And, Alex, I'll put this in an email to you after the call so you have it.
Okay, great.
If you reach out to Toledo Edison, and I can, if you guys authorize me verbally to do it, I can call them on the township's behalf to get those numbers, but that's up to you. But if you call in to customer service and you give them that on the top of the bill that you sent me, I'll also put this in the email. There's a master account number. If you give them that master account number and say, hey, we have 6 accounts, I need our customer numbers for all 6 accounts, they should send those to you, no problem.
Cool. Okay. You guys have anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on this, and I'll take a look at that email when you get a chance to send it.
Yeah, and then once we do get the customer numbers, we'll go out and we'll actually do a RFP with the suppliers for this. I'll get the executable quotes and then I'll send them over to you guys. And if we have to do that at the next trustee meeting, happy to do this again and jump on a call and walk you guys through them. And then at that time, we can actually have a sample, depending on who the supplier is and what term we're leaning towards, we can have a sample contract ready. That way you guys can look at terms and conditions. And I know you guys probably have to vote and do that. And so we can do all that once we have the pricing.
Cool. Alrighty, Paul. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks a lot,
guys. I'll shoot that email over to you, Alex.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you want a copy of that contract to review before you do anything?
Oh, absolutely.
Send
it to the attorney?
Oh, yeah. I'd definitely have to go in front of the attorney before we'd agree to anything. There's no way we'd agree to a contract without having it reviewed. I'd also like to see that formula, too.
Isn't the Ohio Public Utilities Commission, don't they regulate the rates anyways? Put a cap on them? So the Toledo Edison, being the supplier, can't just out of the clear blue shoot for the clouds?
I don't know if they actually put a true cap on them or not. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the answer to that. That stuff's pretty complicated.
And the other thing I picked out of his conversation is that the supplier, it all comes around in a circle that Toledo Edison is the supplier. So how can he say they've got a lot of suppliers?
Yeah, really confusing.
It's all about, it comes off of the gas. It boils down to natural gas is what it comes to. So that when he talks about a supplier, it's where they're getting, they're buying, like you said, they're hedging that bet down the, they're taking the gamble down the road. It's just like stock market. I mean, it's.
You got it right there.
Yeah, they're taking a gamble. We're taking a gamble that the default program is not going to go down. We're trying to say, okay, we're going to lock in. We know what our costs are for the next 4 years. But if it goes, it's a gamble.
Natural gas drops down to almost a giveaway price.
I agree.
Stuck up here.
I agree, but I.
Then if you want out of the contract, you have to pay a cancellation fee.
Well, right. Yeah, you're going to pay. You're going to pay them either way.
Right, Jim.
My interpretation of his cancellation fee deals down to any typical business. You can cancel, but you're going to pay the difference of what the new fee is and the old fee to the company that's losing money. So you got to make up their profits, and you got to pay the new supplier. So in essence, it's still going to be the same. That's exactly, he alluded to the fact of what all the cancellation fee, but when I interpreted it, you're still going to pay the same amount of the higher one because you got to pay the loss. That company's not going to take a loss.
Right. And
then you're going to have legal fees on top of that.
Yeah.
Are you aggregating this for the residents of the township? Or
no,
just
no,
township?
It was just for the complex.
Just the complex.
Lucas County deals with that on our behalf, yeah. And Lucas County actually hires a consultant that deals with that on behalf of the county, on behalf of the residents.
And they got a rotten price.
And we got a rotten deal because Ottawa County's cheaper than Lucas County.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because of Bessie.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's cheaper.
Okay. You want to go back to old business? We'll talk about the September 16th levy informational meeting for roads and fire.
Yeah, so just we've got it on the sign out there. We have the informational meeting regarding the levies coming up this fall. We'll have a lot of hopefully good information for the residents. We're going to do one the 16th of September, and I think the other one's the 16th of October. One's a Tuesday, and the October one's a Thursday. Tried to split it up a couple, two different days there of the week. I have seen some of the literature. It is very, very informational, and the levy committee is doing a wonderful job on it.
They're doing an excellent job.
Yeah.
I saw that literature, too.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It looks good. It's,
some good people working on it.
They're definitely doing their due diligence on it and compiling the information, so.
Are you guys just doing the roads and the fire? Where does the rec fall in?
The rec is not being talked. We're
not on the ballot.
It's not on the ballot this year. We chose not to put it on the ballot this fall because the two most important levies that we need to pass are the road and bridge and the fire department. Them are the two that need to make this township. That's what we need to make the township run. Them are the most important levies that we have, and we got to get them passed this year.
Lucas County is still trying to push roads on us.
They haven't pushed any more on us. We got everything that they said they're going to give us for now.
Yeah, they promised not to give us any.
Yeah.
For a while.
Mike's last term to me was, "You are not getting any more roads as long as I'm engineer." I don't have it in writing, yes. But I'm just saying that was what he said. So
signed in blood.
So yeah, so that's why we're saying if we can keep the rec levy alive, if we can keep the rec funded for a year, we'll put it on the ballot in November of 2026. Because the spring levy just didn't seem to work out. I don't know.
Nobody turned out the way it seemed.
Yeah, I thought for sure that would be the easy one.
Truthfully, I don't think any of the levies are going to work out because the residents are tired of paying taxes.
I hope you're wrong, Bill, because I don't want to hear you calling me about the roads not being mowed, and if the squad can't get to your house for you, I take care of you.
I'm
I'll miss you.
My place.
Yeah, we're hoping we're really hoping they pass. I mean, that's why we're putting the information out.
Are you willing as a township? I know you're in business, Dave's in business. When you guys have shortfall in business, you cut back and live within your means. You have no levies to throw out there. And this township just seems that a levy's an answer to all of it, all the shortfalls, and that is not really the way to do it. Would the township be willing to live within their means if these fail?
Well, you won't be able to support your fire department, and you won't be able to support you can listen, we could sit up here, the three of us could sit up here and work for nothing. We could ask the roads and bridge guys to work for nothing, and you still don't have enough money to maintain your roads, to mow your roads. You don't have enough money to $8,000 electronic piece went out on a fire truck, and you gotta have it fixed, because otherwise it's just a big boat anchor sitting there. You gotta be able to have the funds.
See, there's another thing too for savings. Did anybody get a couple of bids on the repairs on that truck?
That come from the Atlantic Fire, who the truck came from. That's
yeah, but that don't mean they're.
That's the only place you can get the parts. Bill, that's the only place.
Yeah, but they don't manufacture.
Yeah, but a lot of them have proprietary stuff on them where they can only use.
They got you, Bill. They got you.
Yeah. It's unfortunate with the. And I'm not going to let them put in, if they could get something out of China, I'm not going to let them spend $5,000 on a unit that comes from China. I mean, even though this one might have come from China, but an off-brand, and it fail in a year.
You don't want to buy something off Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's what I'm getting at, yeah. I mean, I don't want to buy something off Amazon that doesn't, you know, an off-brand that...
But I mean, going to the manufacturer of the truck, maybe they've got an access to get into this.
I mean, so just for an example, Bill, and you got the fund status in front of you there. Grab one of these, and you look at the general fund. There's $506,000 in that account. That's not a lot of money. I mean, that is not a lot of money for the equipment we have, mowers, plows, the workers.
Well, in all reality, you're probably over-equipped.
No, Bill, we're not. Where are we over-equipped?
You're having trouble with roads and bridges now. I mean, why... And you got equipment. You're buying all this new equipment.
The last thing we bought was the truck, and we used COVID money for that truck, for the new plow truck.
And you got the plow truck, and then you turn around, and you got a new tanker.
Well, that comes out. That come out of
fire.
Fire levy. That come out of the fire fund.
We bought a used John Deere, the mower tractor. That wasn't new. It looks new, but it wasn't. It was four or five years old. We picked that up, and we got a good deal on that.
There will definitely be some belt tightening, but I don't think we can tighten the belt enough without a levy.
Oh, we'd be, yeah.
Honestly, I'm just being honest with you. You'll be out of business. I mean, I understand what you're saying about...
I mean, we'll have no choice but to tighten the belt if the levies don't go
through.
But it ain't going to be pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be fun. I know that.
That's the unfortunate thing. And Bill, this is the other thing I want to say, is I feel that the people that... And I'm not saying that anybody in here is complaining about the levies and about taxes, but the ones that are going to cry the loudest about paying the taxes are going to be the first ones that are calling me and saying, I can't see at the corner of this road, because that grass isn't mowed. And I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't cut it. Or there's ice on our road. Well, we can't afford to put salt down to melt the ice like we're used to having. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing about it.
And we only got one part-time guy.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to go down to one part-time guy.
Yeah. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that the township residents understand.
There's where just like the funding direct, you're talking volunteers, you know, to keep it going and everything. Maybe you need to go to volunteers to keep the township going. I'm sure there's plenty of qualified people in the township.
That'd be rough. That'd be rough.
You got liability issues.
CDLs. That's the biggest thing, a liability.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, did you have something?
As far as the levies are concerned, the levies for the fire department...
They claim they don't need them.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. There was, I said, as far as the levy for the fire department, it is a renewal. So you won't have an increase on your taxes. However, if the renewal fails and we have to come to you for a new levy, the money will be higher for the same amount that we're getting now.
For the same millage.
So, same thing on a road and bridge.
The same thing on a road and bridge. So the renewals are nothing more than what you're paying already.
And that's why with the road and bridge levy, right now, when you read, and that is going to be explained in there, there's a renewal and an increase. Because we lost one, one's gone and out of here. We can never get it back. The one that's still active, if we renew it, we're renewing that millage, I think it's 1 mil, at the old rate. Like, whenever that originally got passed, 1980, whatever, 88. So whatever the values were in, at that time when it got passed, that's what that one's being renewed at. But the extra millage will be at the new value, unfortunately.
Are those going to be two separate issues or one?
It's one.
It's going to be one. We put them together.
Yeah. It's hard to, and that's where we're going to try and explain it in these informational means to get it. Because I do agree that in the spring, it was very muddled and it wasn't explained very well. And I didn't really care for the language the way it read. And I'm not 100% sure that language is going to be very clear this time, but we're trying to keep that renewal so we can save the residents money in the long run. Same with the fire department. It is asking for a renewal that we're using the old money. So
I hope a lot of people
don't know that much about their taxes to understand.
Yeah.
How that works.
Sandy, I just hope a lot of people come to these meetings because they're the people that have started this or did this have did a lot of work, and I've read everything they did. They've done a fine job, really good.
Or at least review them online later on, which I think will be.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, more likely.
Speaking of roads, is Howard Road still ours? Or is that supposed to?
That's the county.
Get turned back, and they try to dump that on us.
North of Corduroy is ours. Howard Road, north of Corduroy, is the township's.
That's right, why the grass hasn't been getting cut then.
Along Howard Road?
Yeah, it's still county.
It's
still county.
But doesn't the parks don't allow them to cut?
Yeah, you're right.
Up by the road on the side of the telephone poles isn't the.
And that's true.
That
yeah.
Put in for us. And that's over a foot tall again.
Which stretch?
They did some mowing.
Like along the park?
Corrugated too. It's terrible.
Oh, along the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
So those meetings were September 16th at 7 p.m. Yep. And October 16th at 7 p.m.
That was the tentative one. I want to double check the October one, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of what we set on. It's kind of what I wanted to keep it the 16th, kind of. All right.
I think that's what when I read the paperwork, I thought that's what it said.
Yeah, and maybe it was. If that's what it was, I'd go ahead and put it on there.
Right.
And we'll make it work.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I didn't bring it with me. I left it at home. Yeah.
I actually think my wife picked ours up with a bunch of other stuff and threw it away that I had there. So I got to see if I can get another copy of it.
Okay, I guess if you guys don't have anything else on that, we'll move to the next item to talk about township credit cards. I am so sick of talking about township credit cards. Sick of the phone calls and having to deal with it. So I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about this and see if we're all on the same page moving forward. I understand there's been some back and forth between different township departments about how credit card receipts and things have been handled. It does say on the cover page for our credit card receipt cover page, when you submit the credit card receipts, that required to have this cover page attached, and it's required to submit this no later than 7 days from the date of purchase to the fiscal officer. Failure will result in loss of use of the card and possible responsibility for the item purchased. I would like to stick firm to that because that's what we have in place at the moment. I know our other credit card policy doesn't specifically say 7 days. It says the language is a little different, not as clear. We're probably going to need to change that at some point. I mean, if Joel reaches out to somebody in one of the township departments and Joel doesn't have a receipt and he asks for a duplicate and it's already been submitted, it needs to get given to Joel. Even if he already has it, maybe Joel lost it. We have to make Joel happy. Well, he's a fiscal officer and he's looking out for the financial.
He should be fiscal responsible and have the receipts and keep the receipts that's handed to him. Not have to be getting 15 different receipts for the same item because I misplaced it or you didn't hand it in or something, or I don't like the way this one looks. You have to give me a different one.
Well, I'm saying hypothetically. I don't know if that's been the case so far or not, whether he's.
It has been.
And that may be the case.
I've come to you guys about it once before.
I have seen two requests here in the last, I don't know, let me see here. There were two requests on a specific credit card receipt that he has asked for, and the last request I got was September 8th, which was what, Monday?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yeah, I got that one yesterday, and it was before that, it was...
So that would have been from approximately 3 weeks ago.
On that same one?
Yeah, that's correct. Because right here it says the purchase date was 8/14/2025. You seeing this email here?
Did Tony turn him in or?
I don't know if he did. He left before we got to this one, but yeah, that was.
I don't know if this one's been turned in to date or not. I talked to Joel today. It didn't sound like it had been turned in today. So that puts it 3 weeks.
He does have some stuff up in his box, all up there. I do know that.
For our language.
And I understand where he's coming from with this is the Ohio townships, they don't even want you using credit cards because of fraud. Mm-hmm. They do not even want you using the credit cards. Like, that's you. That's what you have accounts for. You know, that's what they want. So, I do see where... I understand where Joel's coming from. I understand where some of the department heads are coming from. But, ultimately, if he doesn't get the receipt... I agree. This shouldn't be very hard to do. I mean, when I turn in receipts at work, it's... I might have them for a day because I forget to, you know... Because I'm putting in my wallet or whatever, but I usually walk right in and I put them right in the box where they belong.
Yeah, and my credit card receipts for work, when I'm at a vendor and I make a purchase, I take a picture immediately of that receipt, and it gets, at least for me personally, gets uploaded to the cloud. If I lose that receipt, I've already got that saved in the cloud. That doesn't cost anything. I mean, that's a matter of personal preference of how receipt preservation is handled, but if Joel doesn't have the receipt... And he's asking for a copy of it. He needs to be provided a copy of it.
Charlie, would it be easier? You know, Kevin uses an account, you know. Can't you guys get an account at some of these places? A few of them at least, you know. And
I have certain accounts, and they don't get paid. That's part of the problem.
Even the accounts when he...
Some of the accounts won't. I've talked to these guys here because you were absent one day. And it's directly with the company. It doesn't go to no middleman or nothing. They sell their stuff. And if they don't sell it to us because they haven't been paid, I'm out of luck. I don't have the piece. So that was one specifically that basically he hadn't paid, and I'd given him a couple of different papers. He received their stuff, and they're emailing me, says, we haven't got it yet. I text him on the phone. He won't answer the phone most of the time. He has to have a text.
The only thing I would say, I agree with sticking to this on this cover page. And I would say for the departments and the department heads, show proof that you turned that in.
What?
Show proof that you turned that receipt in the time. If you don't, if you're saying that, and I don't, I'm just telling you this right now, and I'm sure Joel's listening. I do not buy that Joel is being malicious and losing receipts to keep asking for them, because he does not want to have to keep asking for receipts. So what I'm saying is,
he's being malicious to lose them.
I agree, but what I'm saying is, follow the procedures we have in place to turn in the credit card receipt. Second, there's got to be a way you can take a picture that you turn this in on this date in his box or wherever it went with the cover sheet. That's simple as that, in my opinion.
I mean, it's a little bit of a pain to sit there and take a picture and upload it. You know, at least in the case of mine, when I take a picture, it's automatically uploaded. If this continues, it may get to the point where take a picture, and either the picture is going to have to be texted to us or directly to Joel or something of that nature. That seems to be the only way we're going to solve this problem.
Yep.
So if we don't stick to the 7 days, right, I think that we're going to have to go that route. Now, if there's a, that could actually be a good thing, because if there's a case where, let's say, one of the department heads loans their card out to somebody else at the township and they make a purchase, well, then they can text either the person who's responsible for that card or Joel or somebody else.
Mine are, for the most part, our accounts.
Ah.
Very, very, unless somebody says, I need this right away and I don't have an account made up yet, we might do it by credit card there. But in the most time, I make an account for somebody. So I have multiple accounts.
Yeah, I think there's the credit cards are getting used a lot. I do see the stack of receipts. I mean, they are getting used a lot. Sometimes you have to, you know. But we got to stick to the guns with this. I mean, 3 weeks he's been waiting on that one.
I mean, after 7 days, if the card gets turned off, the card gets turned off. That's I'll give Joel authority on, or my vote, that the card gets turned off after 7 days.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like that, but it's the township residents' money we're playing with, and these are the policies we agreed to when we voted that cover page in.
Mm-hmm.
So receipts need to be submitted within 7 days. Do you have specific accounts or specific vendors that aren't getting paid on a timely manner? Like, do you have a list of those?
Well, the one I talked to you about was IOs. They're the only company that makes them. They don't sell out to, like, Boundary or some intermediate. We just had to do one with the modem and stuff like that. That had to be dealt with for the new life pack that we have, so we can have it ready for the utility. The modem was actually on guarantee, so that we got lucked out on that. But there's other things about that we had to, immediate type things. I had to do another thing with, I had to make a account for a specific company that I had to go through, because I tried to go through the company that made the product, and they got going. I said, can you send it to me? And they said, no, we can't. Why not? Because we send it out to dealers. Why can't I talk to you and get it from you? Why do I have to go through somebody else that raises the price on me?
Hmm.
So I had to go to another company out of Pennsylvania to set up an account for a company that's in San Diego. So then they had to wait until everything got all right through 3-4 days. So then they could say, and then they have to say, hey, send me a piece to Pennsylvania so that they can send it out to me. That's what we're dealing with.
So are there other companies besides that particular one?
It was a vent. It was one of our vents, and it was a repair piece for it.
I got the same thing with parts. You go to the guy that you think you would get it from, but there's a supplier you have to go to.
There's got to be a supplier. You got to have a middleman.
And you
know why, but
what was funny was the supplier was cheaper than the other guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I couldn't figure that one out. Yeah. Crazy world.
Okay. But it sounds like we're all in agreement that if receipts aren't turned in by our 7 days on the cover page if the card gets turned off?
Yep, if that's what Joel wants to do, yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys have anything else on that?
Nope.
Do you want me to send an email to everybody regarding that?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. Any other old business? All right. On to new business. We got Hercules Energy taken care of. Number two, Kyle Warner, Bunting Road, Donovan Road, subdivision camera.
I talked to him if they had it all done, because I would like to get this figured out so I could get a grant for that, maybe, possibly. But Kyle said that their person that does the camera must have quit on them, and they really don't have anyone else to do it. So they're supposed to be hiring someone, so we can get that done, I hope, this fall, and get those sewers all camered so we know how bad they are. So we can get a grant possibly to line them or something like that. So that's what's going on there.
Okay. Anything else on that? Yeah. All right. Number three, Lucas County Advisory Council meeting, 9/10/25, 7 p.m.
That's the DAC meeting. That's for the health department tomorrow night, and I'll be there. We're going to vote on that to pass the money for the new building. They bought the Catholic building there off of Cherry Street there, so they're moving there. I'll report more on it next meeting.
Okay, I guess on to number four. Rob, zoning conference meeting, $50 fee. You guys saw the email about sending them to the conference down in...
Yeah, I approved it because it was $50. Then I sent you guys an email.
Yeah, that's fine with me if he wants to attend that conference. It's kind of nice that Jacob's not charging us anything for attending that conference, so that's cool.
On a seven.
Okay, number seven, economic development.
I just wondered if you guys, if we could start at 6 o'clock the next meeting and go into executive session at 6. Mike Beasley, Matt Hiram, and Gary Thompson are going to be there to talk about economic development.
Did you say Matt Hiraman?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So is that all right for everybody? I gotta call them back and let them know. So
that would
should be okay.
That would be before we'd start our meeting early and have an executive session, or have a special meeting before our regular meeting. So probably a special meeting.
It could make it a special meeting. Yeah, we're gonna be in the executive session anyhow, so it won't, you know, no sense anybody coming. They'll just be sitting here.
How does that qualify to have them here for an executive session?
We can go under discussion of economic development. I've asked on that.
Okay.
They said it was okay.
I was trying to make the connection because they're county officials and other government officials.
Well, Matt is. Beasley, he's just, I don't know what he is anymore, but.
Somebody's boy.
Yeah. And Gary Thompson, he's the Regional Growth Partnership. He works out of Toledo, but for the region.
So that'd be 6 p.m. or 6:30?
6. Is that okay, Bo? Okay. You can make it?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Matt Hiraman.
Well, yeah.
he's a smooth talker, buddy. He's the one that...
He knows how to talk.
He got the Diamond One consolidation taken care of, and...
Beasley's no amateur.
Yeah, I know.
He knows people.
So I'm going in already with a biased mind.
Okay. September 23rd, 6 p.m.
Okay.
Special meeting.
All right.
For our regular meeting.
I do have one old business, sure. And I'm going to ask. Karen, did you ever get a response?
No.
Okay. There was an email drafted. You guys saw that from zoning?
There was?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I never... it was sent on the 27th of August.
I don't know if I got it anymore, but I remember seeing it.
Here we go. You got it? If you're, you can, if you're, have no, no, once you read it, if you have no, if you're good with the response, I would like to let the response be sent off. We can let them know tomorrow.
I haven't really had a chance to look. Well, literally just opened it. Okay. I missed it. So
here's the deal.
But you guys can roll forward.
I'm good with it. Dave, if you're good with it. And then Alex, why don't you send me a text in the morning?
Sure.
And if you're good with it, I will then let them know.
That'll work. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Okay. All right. That'll work. I'll send you a text in the morning then.
Yeah, do that. Okay, that's all I had. So,
Dave, you got any other new business?
Oh, I was hoping Joel would be here because I got some Burkhart bills from the his mom and dad are doing, Steve's mom and dad, and they're all 80-some years old, and I think they forgot it, and it's on our stormwater money, so I'm just going to leave it in there, and I'll call Joel and tell him about it.
One note here. I thought we approved this, but apparently not. Apparently we need to vote and make a motion on this Atlantic Emergency Solutions bill. We didn't do that?
Yeah.
Well, let's do it again. Okay, I move to approve the Atlantic Emergency Solutions bill of $8,304.95.
I can second that.
All right. Roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Litton? Yes.
I don't,
Miller?
Yes. I don't think we voted on it, but then we did not.
Yeah, maybe we didn't.
It's fine.
All right. Well, taken care of. So.
Yeah.
Okay, we got nothing else? Nothing else, right? On to public participation. So, who wants to go first?
The only thing that I noticed, and I wish Elvis might have been here tonight. Thanks. There's someone got some gigantic damn sinkholes for development. Now, I haven't paid much attention where the residents are on the other side, but from Rialto West, I mean, there's some sinkholes that are gigantic. Not counting Mello.
On the dike?
Yeah, on the dike. Huh. Yeah, I don't know what it's like on the lakeside, but just drive down Lakeway, I mean, you can't miss them.
I'll drive down there and take a look at them.
Yeah. A lot of that
on the backside of the lake dike?
A lot of that is brown hog damage. And it is a time of the year when the federal government will be, they walk it end to end, and they literally take pictures of every haul and log it in their computers. So that should, if Elvis could give you the date, that should be, they do it every year in September.
Yeah, it chooses.
The Corps of Engineers comes, three or four people with computers and cameras, they walk every, all the way from end to end, and they will be logging them.
There's a bunch of them.
I'll drive by and take a look at them. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay, all right.
I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting.
I'll second. Roll call, Dave Bench.
I didn't even get to second it.
Yes. Too slow, Dave. Too slow.
Alex Litton, yes. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Time is 8:28.
That's just some more stuff that he had in that picture of him sitting in the truck sleeping.
Yeah.